The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
We witches three gather in the weird, weird woods. At the end of the dark path, past some trees that look like they have arms and they're like scratching in the wind. You know, scary.
Oh, it's scary.
Scary stuff.
We walked out. Yes.
Terrified. Yes, we're all scared. I know we seem cool, but we're scared.
Freaked
Even
out.
As witches, we still get scared.
I'm freaking out, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. That's why I live in a candy house, because I'm scared of it all the time.
I'm hiding behind two gumdrops. Go on.
Yes. Candy is scary if you live in it, because it's tempting. I'm constantly tempted.
I would just eat my own home.
See? And then your property value falls.
Yeah.
And it's like I always say, house.
Candy can be deadly if you eat it. But a kiss can be deadlier if you mean it.
Oh, you're such a romantic. I love it. Oh, anyway, we could kiss and tell all night. But back to the weird witch's brew as we gather around our cauldron and pull up our very delicately crisped French fries.
Oh, delicious.
We begin.
Delicious. This was going so well up until...
What?
Delicious.
Yes?
It's not a French fry. It's a wand.
I would eat my wand. I would eat my wand.
This is a French fry, yes. It's very tempting, and that's why I have a little bit of garlic aioli at the tip of my wand.
Goody Pete, you eat your wand anyway. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
Exactly. If I live in a candy house, of course I'm going to have a French fry wand. What do you think? Come on.
Dip it in your milkshake sink.
I have bad food habits. Most of my spells are, like, caloric-based.
Yes. This is the entire podcast run now, right? Us talking like this.
It's slowly taking over.
Nah, just kidding. This is actually Chilling Podcast with Sabrina. We're going to be talking about Chapter 32, The Imp of the Perverse. I'm Alex.
I'm Justin.
I'm Pete.
And Pete loves this episode. I think we should get that right out of the way up front. Actually, I do want to mention, not to call you out, but you texted in the middle of the episode, Pete, and said, I have to step away. I don't know if I can watch the rest of this, right?
Well, what I said was Justin wanted to watch, and I was taking a break because I had to walk away. It was pretty intense. It's kind of it's an intense episode. It's triggering overall, though, like you said, it's very powerful and nice and lands nicely, but it's rough. It's rough to watch some of that stuff, especially Harvey manhandling Roz. I did not like that at all. It made my skin crawl. I didn't want to watch it. There's a lot of tough stuff in this ep.
I mainly got bummed because, as you guys know, I'm a huge fascist. To see the fascist dictatorship topple over was a real bummer for me.
Oh, very quickly. I know you wanted to really stick around.
Yeah, I'm surprised we didn't open with that.
Yeah,
but you love it anyway,
with emperors and fascist dictators. Really, the fashion choices are all very similar. Strong uniforms,
A lot of black,
a lot of black.
Very sleek though, very sleek.
Yeah, I wanna see a fascist that really has some flair.
More
a headpiece.
You should watch Star Trek Discovery then. The Terran universe, lots of gold.
Yeah. Very fascist.
They are very fashionable. Anyway, but we're not talking about that. We're talking about Chilling Adventures of Sabrina. Give you a quick recap. So Eldritch Terrors have been attacking Greendale. Sometimes they're concepts, sometimes they're men. Who knows? Could be really anything. But they're here to destroy the world one by one. And only Sabrina and her friends stand in the way. Now, they're dealing with some stuff of their own at the same time as these Eldritch Terrors are attacking. Sabrina has been kind of balancing, should she be single? Should she be dating and putting herself out there? Harvey, her old boyfriend, is with Roz. Harvey does not know this until the beginning of this episode, but turns out Roz, his girlfriend, is another witch, which he finds out pretty quickly, and it causes a friction in the relationship, mainly because his family used to be witch hunters, and but his first girlfriend revealed she was a witch, and that was a big problem, so stuff going on.
Fun moment in the hallway, though, where Harvey was just like, man, what's with me and witches, right?
Yeah, he has a type.
It's like, I also
Pete,
think
how
it's
you
Kinkle.
Keep dating total trash people.
Yeah.
What, Pete? What's that?
Nope. Pete's very distracted because he has a food order coming and he's going to have to bolt in any second. So we could say
hungry
Petey
over
it.
Here.
No, I'm kidding. I love your girlfriend. She's great, Pete.
I think witches are just...
Say something about my girlfriend?
Yes, and you'll have to listen to this podcast again if you really want to hear it.
Don't make
but don't let her listen.
Don't torture me like that.
I think Kinkle's the ultimate witch bait.
Oh, nice. Very good. So, yeah, he's dating Roz. Roz is a witch. She's part of the new Weird Sisters along with Prudence and Mambo Marie.
Sentinels.
Yes, the Sentinels, they're trying to monitor the universe to figure out what is coming in terms of the Eldritch Terrors. Meanwhile, over on the other side of the relationship thing is Nick Scratch, who seems to have something going on for Sabrina Spellman at this point. We find out a lot more about that by the end of this episode.
Yeah, we do. Oh, the bad boy alert shattered, which I have a
serious.
Bad boy alert. I have a bad boy alert on top of my TV. And it often goes off, like, sort of lightly. But today, boom, exploding glass every which way.
Oh, my God. You got to clean that up.
Yes.
100%.
Or I could be a bad boy and just leave it messy and step on it like Bruce Willis in Die Hard.
Oh, man. Yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker, like I always say to my kids.
Yes.
Other characters you probably need to know about. So Prudence has it out for Father Blackwood. He is actually literally her father, and she hates him. She stopped herself from killing him last season, and that led to some big problems for everybody.
Ambrose sort of was like, don't do it.
Yeah, exactly. Ambrose, who's Sabrina's cousin, he's been tracking the Eldritch Terrors. There's also Agatha, who's one of the original Weird Sisters who went nuts and so far has been palling around with Father Blackwood, and also Miss Wardwell, who is the teacher at Skull, who is different from Lilith, who lives in Hell. You don't really need to know too much about the Hell side of things because it doesn't show up this episode. Also, there's Theo, who is a friend of Sabrina's. Theo is dating Robin, who is a hobgoblin. He's very fast. And what else? Father Blackwood is not working with the Eldritch Terrors, but trying to convince the Eldritch Terrors to destroy the world. He loves them. He's been studying them with his children, Pilgrims of the Night Church. Also Aunt Zelda and Aunt Hilda. Those are Sabrina's two aunts. Pretty
good
much
point.
All you need to know about them.
Hilda just got married. Zelda running the Church of Hecate. And sort of like a little stressed. Embracing the stressful side of her life. Not happy, I would say.
Yes. Now, while Pete is off getting his food at the moment, what is he getting? A McRib, I believe?
Yes, delivered he ordered to him, a McRib like a for delivery. Like some sort of prince of dining.
That's good. Let's not overtax our resources in this day and age. Order one McRib to your house.
And not to keep talking about this, but do you think he's going to eat it? Like, he's not going to let it sit while we record this?
No, he's not going to have a cold, congealed McRib. He's going to eat a McRib live on our podcast. This is a huge event.
It's a huge event. Like, McDonald's is sending a lot their biggest reporters out to cover this.
From the McDonald's Post, the McDonald's Time, the Daily McDonald's.
Hey, that's where I get all my news, is the placemat underneath my food at McDonald's.
Yeah, I still haven't gotten out of that maze.
Yeah, it's a hard maze.
Oh, wow. Cool dude over here.
Tony
Listen,
Stark.
I know this is an audio podcast, but here's a new thing that I just learned about Pete. He's got those glasses that turn into sunglasses when you go outside.
Nothing says old man like transition lenses. Yeah.
Wow. We're painting quite a picture in this little break in our podcast where Pete is a McRib-eating transition lens dude.
Amazing. All right. Well, Pete, as you eat your McRib, oh my God.
Please don't eat this on the mic.
Please don't eat your McRib.
What?
our podcast.
Okay, fine.
In fact, would you mind just throwing that away? Just for my own.
Man, with those sunglasses on, you really, at the microphone and your laugh right now, you look like a morning shock jock.
Wow. Yeah. Sweet.
We're eating the McRib this morning.
Hey, honk, honk, honk.
Welcome to the morning show.
Great. Why don't we jump into this episode, because there is a lot to talk about. Yes. So it starts off with a new twist. Sabrina, who does not have enough jobs or things going on, is going to be running for school president. Yes. Her running mate, she and Roz are going as co-presidents.
Now, doesn't that seem too much, though? Like, what are you thinking? Like, that is so random.
No, that's pretty classic, Sabrina.
Okay, cool.
Like, Zelda lays into her immediately.
Yes,
she's practicing
her
speech for the entire family and assorted others. And Zelda lays into her and specifically says, you do not have time for this.
Yeah.
There are Eldritch terrors coming. You can't run for president. And Sabrina makes, in my opinion, a very half-hearted or half-thought-out push for why it should be okay for her.
Yeah. I feel like she can just make another time-displaced version of herself, or maybe she could have a twin, a lookalike pop in there and just run the school. I mean, how hard is it to run Baxter High?
I don't know. I mean, probably a little easier than Riverdale, I'd say. Like, I would not want to be Riverdale High school president.
I think either one, it's a bad career move.
Yes.
Looks great on a resume to Murder College or wherever you're going.
Murder College.
I guess. Right. Well, we'll find out next season on the Riverdale. So that all said, that kind of out of the way, that little setup there. Roz tells Harvey, we talked about this the last episode, but she's pretty upfront right at the beginning.
Good for her.
About being a witch. It obviously caused problems, but how do you feel about this decision versus where we left off last episode?
I like the way they did it, where we didn't have to agonize over the back and forth. We cut, we start the scene after she's already told him, and you get this great line, you told me point blank that you weren't a witch. I trusted you. Like, that's, I feel like Harvey's going to be asking that question for the rest of his life.
Yeah, that's all.
No matter who he dates.
But I did appreciate the fact that Roz was, like, immediate with it, like, okay, this is a thing. And also, I liked the moment when she was like, do you want me to leave? And he's like, well, I mean, let's not get crazy. You should stay still, you know.
Yeah, he's got to get one last art bone in so he can draw his pictures of the morning.
The art bone, as they say.
Yeah, he sucks out of Roz and puts it all on the paper, if you know what I'm talking
about.
Wow. I do not like your word choices currently.
That is your...
but I also like the choice that the next day that Harvey is not okay with it. That actually felt very natural to me, you know, that there was almost this whiplash turn of... He was trying to be very Harvey about it, but thought about it overnight and started to get pissed, and it just kind of came out. That was nice.
Well,
I agree.
I like how these, you know, Harvey's not perfect, you know, like they kind of paint him as the good guy or whatever, but he's still human. So, you know, sometimes you have knee-jerk reactions to it, things, you know, it's big news to find out somebody you're dating is a witch.
Yeah, it's like if my wife came home and was like, I'm actually a McRib, I would be disgusted.
You would be like, run for your life, Pete's about to run in here and try to, I would hate to do that, you know. It would really
eat my wife.
Yeah, it would hurt your whole family.
It's true, but so tasty.
Oh.
So then we get a couple of interesting things happen in a row. First of all, yes.
Oh, I was going to say, if you're moving on, the whole idea that Carl is now running for president against, and he's not even the lead man on the ticket, the lead person on the ticket. I was like,
yes, Billy and Carl.
Billy and Carl.
Running on the man ticket.
Yeah.
The man
Brotherhood
show.
Of Bros.
We get the next terror arrives in town, or a kind of arrives in town. Two things happen here. First of all, I wanted to talk about the advanced warning system these witches have, which let them know concurrently to when an Eldritch terror is already there.
Well, I appreciate their advanced warning system because it seems to be a model planet Earth, and then whatever the problem is appears on top of it as a little doll.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, it's easy to read that system.
Yeah.
I think the problem is this imp thing is standing on Earth.
Well, but it's like an earthquake warning system, which is an 8.9 earthquake is hit, and it's like, hey, by the way, you're in an earthquake right now.
Yep.
Yes.
Not that helpful.
No, though I will say it did get Prudence to the right spot in the right time.
Yeah, it did.
She just missed it by a real second.
Well, I think part of that, too, is that she lets Marino and she lets Roz know, but then she goes off to do it herself. So it's possible they could have done something to stop it if she hadn't gone rogue.
I'm glad we're talking about this moment because you kind of think, and she's charging and then she jumps. And it seems like that's taking extra time to jump. Like if she just would have ran through him, she could have got there in time and stabbed him before it went into effect. It feels like the jumping really, it's that classic thing in baseball. If you slide instead of run through the base, it actually, you think it's easier, but it actually takes longer to do that.
When I play baseball, I slide around all the bases. I never stop sliding. I just oil myself up right at the top of the game.
That's not baseball.
You're a famously lubricated baseball player. You first, and I have one too.
I was going to say Baby Lube. What are you going to say?
I was going to say Lube Ruth.
Oh, Lube Ruth.
I was going to say Lube Man from Watchmen.
Yeah, that's not a baseball player, but I appreciate it anyway. Good character. Yeah. Speaking of good characters, we get famous character actor James Urbaniak shows up here.
Slicky Henderson. There it is.
As the trinket salesman, and this is apropos of absolutely nothing, except it was a very weird night for me. I watched this episode where James Urbaniak shows up, and I was like, oh, it's James Urbaniak. I love that guy. He's really fun at everything. Watched this episode, turned over to Dickinson Season 2, and he is, I believe, in the second episode of Dickinson Season 2, doing a guest appearance there. So it was two random episodes of TV in a row where I was like, there he is, same mustache and everything.
Yeah.
Good just actor doing, gets work, man. Come
doing
on.
Yeoman's work. Yeah, he's good.
He's doing great. But yeah, it is fun seeing him as this weird trinket salesman who shows up. This is jumping ahead a little bit.
Oh, wait.
But he has a suitcase full of stuff. One of those things is the Imp of the Perverse. Later on, we find out that he has Kronos's gallstone or whatever or a literal stone that he swallowed.
Yes.
What's the Trinket Man's deal? Who is he? What's going on with him? What side is he on?
I don't know, but I really liked how he did do, like, Trinket Man bits. Like, I love that line where he was like, you know, how much? He was like, well, for you? Like, it was a fun part that I think that this guy, like, you have a different actor. It's a completely different scene. And it was really magical. I'm really happy with that choice. It was kind of a real cool part of the episode.
Yeah, I feel like he's the classic, like, almost Music Man-y character who, like, rolls into town, has this stuff, agitates people, and then he's on his way just making that cash. But he has, like, he has very legit objects.
It was interesting to me that he seemed neutral. You know, when he comes in, you expect, okay, here's the next Edric Terror, here's the Perverse. He's not the Perverse. He's bringing the Perverse. And then later on, he helps Ambrose. So he's very much this party who's just outside of everything. But the way that James Urbaniak plays him, it feels like he has an agenda, you know, when you're watching it. So I'm curious to see how that plays out.
I also think the imp probably drew him to Blackwood because Blackwood wanted the imp. Mm. And then Blackwood throws him on the street, so he's pissed. So he waits on the edge of town for someone to show up and get it done.
That seems fair. As Prudence tries to kill Father Blackwood, he wishes on the Imp of the Perverse that he would not only be emperor, but always have been emperor. And
smart, great wish.
Yeah, which is smart. He makes a good wish. And I really like how this plays out, actually, like the way that they execute this, because this... The reason that I like the way that you're giving me a look here, Pete,
I am.
Which is either you're unsure of what I'm saying, or the McRib is not hitting you the right way. I'm not sure which.
Don't you dare talk trash about the McRib. I'm saying that you say you like what happens.
I say don't talk McRib about the trash. is what I say, because they're sort of the synonyms.
We've all seen parallel fascist universe
in
sci-fi and fantasy and horror and whatever. Yeah, in real life as well, many many times.
Yes.
We're in it, kind of. But I liked how this was executed. I felt this was a different twist on the fact that, as we find out later on, it's only Greendale.
He's
only done it in Greendale. And once you get outside Greendale, it expires. I thought it was a really nice, neat twist on the whole thing that I appreciated.
And I also like that we didn't have to over-explain it. Like, they know that we're aware of the trope as smart TV viewers. So it's just like, see the uniforms they're wearing? You get it. This is a fascistic society run by Father Blackwood. Let's move on and start getting to the story and how we're going to get through this. And I thought it was great. It was instant.
Yeah. There's a line later on when – so Roz and Sabrina are the two that remember everything that's going on. And they don't know why. They're in school. They find out Harvey is fascist. They find out that everybody's taken out. And they're trying to figure it out. And Sabrina just looks up and sees a get immunized for your flu shot sign. And she's like, oh, maybe because we both had Eldritch terrors inside of us, we're essentially immunized. And Roz is like, really? And she's like, I don't know. I'm not an expert. Which, hilarious.
I thought that was so funny. And, like, it is the reason that we are left with. But, like, it was just like, I don't know. Does this matter? Let's just keep moving. I thought it was,
this part's great. Not fun.
It was a weird moment because I'm like, are they saying, like, don't get flu shots? They're like, hey, well, since we didn't get a flu shot, we're not affected. I was like, what is the message?
No. What they were saying was, like how a flu shot vaccinates you, they had Eldritch terrors inside of them. Remember that, oh, my gosh, Roz read The Uninvited, right?
Mm-hmm.
Read The Uninvited, and then Sabrina had the
I remember that stuff. Yeah,
it's like because they touched them, they have the antibodies built up in their system, so they're not affected by this Eldritch terror.
Yeah. However, it was pretty clear later on that Ambrose is an anti-vaxxer, and it was weird that 100%. They put that speech in there.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was aggressive. I got watching this. I was like, "Ooh, this feels so topical by accident."
Yeah. There you go. Good job, show that was filmed almost a year ago.
That's the thing, though. I felt like at times it was too aggressive. I understand what they were trying to do and who they were portraying, but that's when I got like real kind of skeeved out.
Well, and I think this scene we're about to talk about here is probably
I'm hoping we can just
the hardest
brush
one
past
to watch.
It.
Is the one in the classroom after Sabrina dips into disguise and then they're in class. No one's the wiser that this strange new out-of-towner is just chill, has her own desk in the class. She's chilling there. Wardwell's teaching
Why would she stay?
Because she's got to help solve the problem. It's also
Run
her school.
To your auntie's house, like, don't stay in school where all the fucking Nazi kids
Wait, so
are.
Your message is don't stay in school, Pete?
That's right.
That is aggressive.
Also, I'm pretty sure she's chilling because it's her Adventures of Sabrina.
Cool. Very true. Exactly. Wow. Her whole thing is being chill.
That's got to be Kierna Shipka's real hair, right? Like she took off her wig or something.
Yeah, because they said bad hair dye.
So it's a burn? You think that they were burned? The writers were burning Kierna Shipka?
No, I don't know. No, I think that's like probably her regular hair. I assume she wears a wig, so she took it off, which I thought was fun. I always like little winks like that. We find out Harvey is a fascist. We get Miss Wardwell teaching the class. It's Blackwood's birthday. He enters, addresses the classes. There's a witch, accuses Robin, and Robin's like, I'm not a witch. I'm a hobgoblin. Which doesn't seem
away.
To solve the problem. Yeah,
no.
And then they take Theo instead, who gets dragged away. And then he brings in one of the witches. I'm forgetting which one this is. Which witch is which? He basically terrifies the whole school, but we get everything laid out really nicely. And then
one thing on that, I thought it was very funny that they were like, well, it's Blackwood's birthday, and there's no better thing to do on your birthday than visit your old high school.
Yeah.
That's what I do every year.
This is a pissy, small, dumb plan, which feels very consistent with Blackwood, I think.
Yeah.
You know, like it's just limited. He does not have a big enough scope, and that really plays out here in terms of what he wants out of being emperor.
And I appreciate that they've made him sort of dumb. He's like a dumb villain who just craves power for power's sake and doesn't have any actual goals besides, I'm emperor now. And he's like, I better get Sabrina. She's foiled me before. But then he doesn't know what he's doing. He's like, witches are bad. But he's like, but I'm a witch. I'm a warlock. It's funny how, like, how simplistic. It's like what a 10-year-old would do if they had this power.
Yeah. So at this point, I feel like Sabrina makes a good move and then an absolute series of absolutely stupid, very classic Sabrina moves. The good move is going to find Ambrose. They go to find Ambrose. He has completely fallen under his spell as well. He's trying to leave town, even though they're told that everything outside the town is destroyed. But then Roz says, I'm going to try to talk to Harvey. There's got to be good in him somewhere. And Sabrina says, you know what? I'm going to go to school and talk to my aunts.
Yeah. Well, the weird part is she says Auntie Z instead of Hilda. Hilda's a nicer one, the one that's going to be like, why would you go to the one who is strict and stern? Like, that doesn't make any sense.
But Zelda's the decision maker. She's always the one who sort of is the A personality in charge and has the power. So it would make sense to go there first, and no, Hilda's often like, I need to make cake for the restaurant.
Yeah, have a cake break. Be chill.
It just feels like they spent a lot of time saying, okay, we're in a parallel universe. We know how this works. This is a fascist society. We get this. We've seen shows before. Now let's make the stupidest decisions possible. And I don't know why I'm able – I think I'm able to give Roz a little bit of a slide there because – she's absolutely right. If anybody was going to be the same in both universes, it's Harvey, right? But Sabrina just revealing herself to Zelda and everything.
I would like to back up the truck for a second and talk about Ambrose because it was funny seeing Ambrose kind of being like, I'm getting out of here, you know, like packing up the hearse. By the way, sweet hearse. We got some nice shots of that. We got the grill. Looked like it was an old Cadillac. Man, that thing is sweet.
Oh. Pete, would you drive a hearse around if you had the chance?
If it was a caddy, yeah. No question.
Nice. No question. No question. No questions.
Okay. We're going to tell you that there's just dead bodies stuffed in the back.
Yeah.
No coffins, just packed tight in
and
there.
And let's just say I don't want to talk about it anymore because Christmas is coming. a month ago is what I'm talking about.
So as mentioned in this parallel universe, she heads over to the school. It's now an art school, kind of, probably secretly a witch school. But Nick is there, introduces himself to her, man. Really likes her,
yes.
Giving us a teaser meet of what's
cute.
Coming.
They
at the
run
end of the
into
episode.
Each other. It was a freaking meet cute all over again.
God, if we can just keep getting parallel dimensions where Nick and Sabrina are meeting over and over again.
Hey, speaking of meat cutes, how's your McRib doing, Pete?
It's gone. It was so good.
Wow. It's crazy how you're able to eat that in silence. I guess because it's just mush.
Delicious.
It's like eating oatmeal.
It's delicious mush.
Oh, man. They should sell that as a milkshake, basically.
Oh, man. That'd be amazing.
So she goes to the school. As mentioned, she meets Nick, introduces herself to Zelda, reveals herself, and actually is able to momentarily change Zelda's memory so she remembers who Sabrina is, but it doesn't really stick. And then we get a great sequence where Blackwood enters, and they've been practicing, of course. You know, you said a couple of episodes back, Pete, you were like, I am 16, going on 17. That's a real fascist song. No, if we're going to musical theater fascist songs, you're going to go to Tomorrow Belongs to Me from Cabaret, which is the most fascist song that is sung by fascists for fascism.
But that was a little foreshadowing because they did a reference to a Nazi play and then had the crazy Nazi episode next and had singing in it. So that full circle is shit right there.
Yeah, I don't want to spoil anything about the next episode, but I hear they have a musical number from Schindler's List, the musical.
Oh, my God.
Wow. Everyone's been dying to see that musical, especially these days.
I love a good list.
Jesus.
Schindler's Listicle? Were you guys surprised that Melvin knows how to play the accordion?
No, that was so great. Melvin was killing it in the accordion. I have that in my notes. I'm so glad you brought that up.
Amazing.
So I love that Sabrina literally says the words, bad boy alert.
Goes, once a bad boy, always a bad boy. Bad boys for life.
Do you think that was us, right? That's our impact?
That's our impact.
Mm-hmm. No way.
The
Absolutely.
Bad Boy Alert has been brought into the main canon of the show.
She doesn't say Bad Boy Alert. She just goes...
No, she says Bad Boy Alert. She says the words Bad Boy. Believe me, when I hear those words, I have my own alert. And she says it. And we've been saying that since part one of this show. Check the t-shirts.
But it was kind of ridiculous. Sabrina did have a couple like ridiculous moments at the once a bad boy, always a bad boy, because Nick's not singing was hysterical.
Very. And I love her karaoke spell. She gets him going.
That was super cute. Now, I do want to talk about the scene that takes place in the middle here where Roz talks to Harvey and tries to turn him, which I thought was really good. Like, it was a very tense scene. The one thing that I wanted to talk about, though, is at the end of the scene, before she's about to leave, she talks back and gives a speech to Harvey about, like, being a good person and who he really is and everything. But there's this slow pushing two shot on her and a shot of her. And it's a two shot of her and a tin can robot.
Yep.
Did you notice that?
Yeah.
That was weird. What was that?
It's a little, I think he's a tin man from Wizard of Oz. He needs art.
Oh, interesting. Harvey. So it's like a metaphor for who Harvey
is.
I was going to say they're in a throuple and they all have sex
with
the robot.
Oh, well, that could be that. Clearly, it's probably that. But
yeah, have you seen that Tin Can Man's drawings?
Mwah. Oh, very good.
The perverse.
Erotic.
So I really loved the way she kind of talked about their love. It was really moving the way she talked about their first time and what they mean to each other. I thought it was very, very beautiful, moving speech.
Yeah, I thought overall really good scene. And then after that, we get...
When he grabs her, that was awful. Like, that's when I had to walk away.
Yeah. Mm. One aspect we didn't really talk about is there's a nice transformation with Prudence right at the beginning here. She jumps and then she turns into Father Blackwood's right-hand man. She is there in the school. They arrest Nick anyway. And this potentially is what spurs Zelda on to give Sabrina the secret info to track down Aunt Hilda in the very surprising place where she is, which is at Dr. C's. So overall, very cool. But then we get the big thing that we talked about earlier where Ambrose gets out of town, suddenly remembers everything.
One more thing before that. Sabrina speaks to the coven and she references Aunt Zelda's dog Vinegar Tom.
Which
is a reference to another play that I did in college, a Carol Churchill play called Vinegar Tom about witches, and I played Packer the Witch Hunter. So that's two plays I did in college that have now been referenced on this season of the show. I'm starting to think I'm the main character.
Wow. Take it easy, guy.
Man, I guess we'll see what happens next episode.
The dog speech was pretty amazing, though.
It was, yes.
It was. It was very sweet and it was very sad. Back to the Ambrose thing, though. As mentioned, he encounters the Trinket Man. He gets the stone that Kronos swallowed.
He's in that sweet hearse, you know, just thinking about what he's going to do.
What are you doing? You have McRib sickness is what's going on here.
Yeah.
He gets the stone. It's going to rely on the universe. He also finds out that the catch is if he goes back in Greendale, he'll have about 30 seconds before he starts to forget everything.
And that guy talks, he doesn't get to the point right away. So that's a problem.
Yes.
Yeah. He used up, when he eventually does come back, he uses up a lot of time.
Oh, my God. So much time. I'm like, shut up. Just get to
a lot of pausing for effect.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Sabrina and Zelda and Hilda and the Eldritch Terrors.
Yeah.
There are eight of them. And what you need to know is I went outside of town. And, one. Anyway, he's great, though. Yeah. I know I'm making fun.
He's good.
He is amazing.
He's very good. But Robin shows up. That's going to be the catch there. That's how they're going to get back inside
Robin
very quickly.
Robin was running the whole time. Like, that's impressive.
Nonstop.
Yeah.
That guy's very fast. He is a fast hobgoblin. Then Sabrina and Roz break into the back of Dr. C's where the resistance is going on. They find out Agatha is fine in this alternate reality.
Yes.
But Dorcas, still dead and gone.
I don't know about that, Alex. I think she was just completely forgotten. Because we don't know if she's dead. She just could have been like, what's this? It's like if you are you know, there's a fly on your shoulder, mm-hmm. and then it goes away. You're not like, where is that fly?
Do you know what? I bet she's just biding her time.
Mm. Yeah. For what?
She's going to have a Gandalf the White moment come back. And I come back to you now with the turn of the tide.
Yeah. Yes. She is going to be running all of hell. It's going to be amazing. Season finale, end of the whole show, Dorcas return.
Thou shalt not pass over me appearing in the background of these shots.
So, Agatha is fine. They reveal, I think we kind of knew this, but it's nice to hear it out loud, that Blackwood is immortal and impotent. Not impotent, probably, but omnipotent. Excuse me. <Yeah.
laughs> Were you saying that you're impotent?
Yeah, what's happening?
What? No.
I think that's what you said. I'm impotent.
Yeah, that's what you said.
Listen, man, I'm out there every day getting all oiled up and slatted around the bases. I'm doing just fine.
That's true. That's not what sex is, just a sidebar. But we can talk
he
about
knows.
That.
He knows. He has two kids.
Yeah. Both. Yes. Both. Conceived on a baseball diamond.
Oh my God.
So back to this though. Ambrose enters, breaks everything down, and then we get a fun moment where Hilda realizes what she can do is make stone soup for everybody. So great. She does that, only puts lemon and ginger in it, which is a waste of a stone soup.
Yep.
That's not how you do that thing.
I mean, where is the. No. I mean, come on.
And yeah, you want some. It's more of a broth.
Yeah.
Right. It's more of a tea. She basically made stone tea, yep. honestly.
Yeah. That's
so call it what it is. But everybody has it. Sabrina takes them to the school and frees everybody of mine there. So basically everybody remembers what's going on. Love this, how the entire coven is there for Blackwood's birthday, but they all remember pretty much. And they're all about to take the fight to him. Meanwhile, though, before that happens, Roz gets taken away. And it turns out Harvey is kind of good. He only takes her.
Good.
He's medium good. He's good for this alternate reality. And then we get a really fun sequence. Father Blackwood preaching to everybody. They're piling stones on top of Nick. Sabrina yes. reveals
oh,
herself.
Oh, my God.
And destroys the
very
imp.
Very fun.
Except it's not the imp.
Wait,
it's
wait,
a fake
wait,
imp.
Wait. Back up. You got to talk yes. about the whole, like, Nick has his shirt off. They're piling yeah. stones. And then Sabrina's like, no.
Well, because they were like, let's put stones on him, but he can't bear the weight of this T-shirt. Let's take the T-shirt off, and we'll just put the stones, give him the full Giles Corey treatment right out of the Crucible. We're hitting. I love the use of plays in this show.
And listen, man, Broadway's closed, but we still got Chilling Adventures of Sabrina.
Yeah. And
100%.
So Nick, it's like, you know, I could take more weight than that. And Sabrina's like, I know you can. And then it's just too much. And Roz is like, are you really hitting on your ex-boyfriend? And she's like, it doesn't count.
I couldn't believe they did. I couldn't believe they had that 10-minute sex scene right there.
Right there. They couldn't control themselves.
Nick and the Stones, you mean, right?
Yeah, Nick and the Stones. Maybe I just imagined them just stopping the action and just having intimate but still wild sex right there in front of everyone.
Yeah. Also, you can take the weight. I don't think Kiernan Shipka weighs as much as all of those toads. Yeah. I'm just going to say that.
Wow, interesting.
And then Nick was like, hot friend. Like, wow, that was just, it was a lot. It was a lot.
A lot of stuff going on there. But as said, they destroy the imp. They realize that is actually a fake imp. So they bind Father Blackwood, calm down his dog. Which is a fun little moment.
Oh, yeah, they give him a bone, and he's just super chill.
Yes, and they realize that the imp is probably at the safe back at Dorian, so Robin runs back there, super speed.
All the combinations.
Takes it back. They destroy the imp again, but it's not another fake imp.
Yeah.
And then at which point they realize that the dog is the imp, I think.
Yes. The dog ate the imp.
I think he says, I think Sabrina says, oh, the imp is something that no one would ever want to touch. So his dog.
Yeah.
Who doesn't want to pet a dog?
I don't know. Good question. It's kind of a mean dog, though.
I thought it was.
Yes, it's a mean dog.
I thought it was going to be.
Yeah, they reverse the dog.
The witch on the kind of like collar. I thought that was going to be the imp.
Mm. Where do you think he got all these imps? Was the tinker like, all right, I'll give you this one. And then you were included in that package is several fakes. And a little puppy.
There is nothing more perverted than having a bunch of tiny statues.
Yeah, I mean, it's true. It's very true.
So everything reverses, at which point Prudence finishes her jump, impales Blackwood. It's all back to normal. Harvey gives a very sweet thing that I think we talked about earlier to Roz, where he says he freaked out because he loves her. And then Sabrina gets up and gives a big speech about how they're going to run on a We're Teen Witches platform, because witches are unapologetic and feminist and awesome, which is crazy decision. I thought it was very fun and funny, and they made it work within the continuity of the show, but it felt like the reality of what was going on the show was stretching very thin at that moment to me.
I agree with you, but I love the move, because this finally puts Sabrina and Roz back together. Her becoming a witch is sort of like setting them up, but this episode really brought them as like sort of core friends for this show, which I think this season has been all about Sabrina being isolated. So we get a big move there with that. And also, I think this episode showed that Harvey and Sabrina, no thing.
Yeah, nothing there. Yeah, I mean, this was, you know, really about like being woke and kind of like being on the right side of history, as this show talked about like numerous times. And that's like, it was just all kind of a big metaphor for that. But the speech was nice. I just wish a little bit more of Roz would say some of these things, just because it would be a little bit more powerful that way. But instead of Sabrina. But I agree with Justin. I love where it ended with the two of them together.
Well, hold on. Oh, with Roz and Sabrina.
Yes.
Okay. was that Vinegar Tom in the background?
Yeah, sorry. My dog wanted to just enjoy the theatrical references we were making.
Yeah, sure. Just toss a McRib over there, see what happens.
And
just
Harvey's
slush on down his mouth.
Harvey's apology was nice as well. I thought that was really cool.
So last two things that happened, they've chopped off Father Blackwood's head. Since he's immortal, they're just going to keep him there on a plate in the prison cell or whatever you want to call it. And the last thing, this is huge. We finally get the Riverdale crossover.
Yep.
Veronica Lodge comes in. Her hair is a little shorter. She looked a little bit different. But she comes in, walks up to Sabrina and says, "Sabrina Spellman, wear M game." And that's huge. I wouldn't have expected that, but it was great to see Veronica again. And I'm curious to see what will happen next.
Alex, I think you have a case of the of Riverdale withdrawal.
Yeah.
Because you're seeing Veronica everywhere.
Yeah,
that's true. No, it's Nick. But he says Veronica Lodge's catchphrase. He says, "Sabrina Spellman, we're endgame."
Yeah.
No, you're not into it, Pete?
I thought that was a little like, you know, like, I don't know, a little eye roll. But I like the fact that they were, Nick and Sabrina, after this episode, you can tell that they're clearly the ones for each other. So that was nice.
Yeah, I thought this was great. Very excited. I mean, I don't know. I'm curious if it means what it will mean, because it doesn't feel like that's necessarily true. But the fact that Nick is sort of coming for her, I think, will be a fun episode to watch.
I agree. Oh, go ahead. No, I was just here to say, I agree.
Cool.
That was it.
But I did like the Prudence transformation was fun. The double sword thing she had on her back was pretty badass.
That was pretty fun. Before we wrap up here, which reigns supreme this episode? Pete?
Well,
Prudence, because she had two swords. The car? Which one are you
going to
go for?
Well, it's going to be tough. I want to say the hearse is pretty sweet. But no, I do like Prudence because I thought she was the only one who didn't really make me furious this episode. It was hard to see people we care for act so differently in this episode. So I felt like Prudence was a badass, and I liked her transformation. Her new look was cool.
Justin, what about you?
Tough call, but you know I got to give it up for that Nick Scratch Fever, because what an episode. He's coming in. He's got his swagger back. He gets to throw the shirt off, take the stones right to the pecs. And I'll tell you what, those stones were on there, and when they hit those pec muscles, the stones ended up being the loser.
I'm going to give it up for the Trinket Man this episode. I just love me some James Urbaniak. It is a weird character who brings such a weird, fun energy to absolutely everything that he's in. And it's definitely something where it comes in, and I want to know more about this character, what's going on with him, even though he's a tiny part of the episode. So It's fun. Bring on the chilling adventures of the Trinket Man. If you'd like to support our show and other shows we do, patreon.com/comicbookclub. Also, we do a live show every Tuesday night at 7 p.m. to Crowdcast on YouTube. Come hang out. We would love to chat with you about Chilling Adventures of Sabrina. iTunes, Android, Spotify, Stitcher, or the app of your choice to subscribe and listen to the show socially at Riverdale After, at Riverdale Dark on Instagram, Riverdale After Dark on Facebook, comicbookclublive.com for this podcast and many more. Until next time, keep sliding around those bases.
Oh, boy. Wow.
Gross. Pete, I ordered you another dozen McRibs, and we're not leaving until you eat every single
one. Well, it'll take 5 minutes.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.